We did up to which verse? 29th, right? 30th. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We began the third canto, third chapter of Bhagavad Gita in the last session, and we covered the first 29 verses. In the first two verses, we saw how Arjuna expressed his confusion. Krishna, you emphasized on working according to my prescribed duties, and you also described that I have to stay far away from abominable activities. Dureena hi avaram karma. Okay. So, what should I do? Should I do action or should I take to renunciation? Should I give up my prescribed duties or should I perform my prescribed duties? And Arjuna thought that my prescribed duty is fighting and that fighting is an abominable action. So, I should give it up. But Krishna is saying, do your prescribed duty also. So he was a bit confused. So, but Krishna said that the performance of prescribed duties with attachment to the results, with a mentality of doership, so that is avaram karma. But performing prescribed duties with a mood of detachment as an offering to the Supreme is not avaram karma, is not abominable action. Okay, so Arjuna was a bit confused about it. So Krishna spoke about Nishkama Karma Yoga. In the first two slokas of third chapter, Arjuna expresses his confusion. And from third verse till ninth verse, Krishna describes this Nishkama Karma Yoga. It is better for you than giving up work based on Jnana Yoga. Okay, so he said that premature renunciation of prescribed activities will not sustain for longer time, because the inclination to perform material activities is still there, but you have suppressed that inclination and prematurely took to not doing any prescribed activity, to prematurely became a sannyasi. Okay, then that kind of renunciation is not sustainable. But for a person who has actually develop detachment from results of material activities, and for a person who is really purified by performance of prescribed duties, such a person can give up work. But not a person who is not yet purified and still artificially takes to dry renunciation. Fine. So Krishna also spoke that a person who externally acts as a sannyasi but internally meditates on sense gratification is a pretender or mithyachari. So better than that is performing your prescribed duties sincerely as an offering to the Supreme without expectation of results. Okay, that will keep you free from bondage. Okay, then from 10th verse till 16th verse, Krishna spoke that how he has created the living beings and also the process of sacrifice, and the demigods who are the recipients of offerings in that sacrifice, and as a result they also bestow a lot of benedictions upon the performers of sacrifice. So he spoke about the cycle of sacrifice. Okay, so the living entities, or especially the human beings, they perform sacrifices and please the demigods, and the demigods will shower rains. From rains you get grains, and those grains you offer to the Lord and then eat them as prasad. Fine. And from the Supreme Lord only these Vedas are coming, and in the Vedas the sacrificial methods are prescribed. We have also seen the cycle of sacrifice. Then Krishna says, from the 17th verse onwards, Krishna starts another section saying that even if you are qualified to enter the arena of renunciation, still you should perform Nishkama Karma Yoga only, so that you can set a right example for common people to follow. So in the first section, Krishna spoke that premature renunciation is not proper, that kind of renunciation is not sustainable, so better you perform your prescribed duties. Means you do your Nishkama Karma Yoga. But even if you are qualified for renunciation, that means even if you are purified, you have no material desires, still you should perform Nishkama Karma Yoga to set the right example for others. So Krishna spoke that I personally perform so many prescribed duties, although I am beyond the need to perform any duty. Fine. And he also spoke about the example of Janaka Maharaj. Fine. And he also differentiated between an attached worker and a detached worker, Karmakandi and Karma Yogi. An attached worker performs his prescribed duties with attachment to results, but a detached worker performs the prescribed duties as a matter of duty with a detached spirit, as an offering to the Supreme. So he will not be bound by the results of the work. So for an attached worker, there is bondage by his work. For a detached worker, there is no bondage. On the other hand, he sets the right example for common people to follow. Fine. So this is a quick summary of what we have discussed in the first 29 verses of this chapter. Okay. So from 30th sloka, we will begin today. Mai sarvani karmani sanyasya dhyatma chetasam nirashirirma mobhutva yuddhasya vigatajvaraham. This is a very important verse in this chapter that actually describes bhakti yoga. Although Krishna is speaking Nishkama Karma Yoga, as I said earlier also, Nishkama Karma Yoga, when it is done in the right spirit, it's as good as Bhakti Yoga. Okay. So in the beginning stages, one may not have detachment, one may have material desires, one may not be sufficiently purified by performing prescribed duties. Right? So he begins to perform Nishkama Karma Yoga. But by performing Nishkama Karma Yoga and actually cultivating the detached spirit, actually cultivating that mood of offering everything to the Supreme, right? And if you are still performing your prescribed duties, that is as good as Bhakti Yoga, right? So let's see. Krishna says, Mai Sarvani Karmani. The word Mai or Mat or me, basically. Me means Krishna. Krishna very rarely used it till now. In the second chapter, once he used Mat Paraha, and now in the 30th verse of this chapter, also he is using. Mai sarvani karmani, perform all your karmas or prescribed duties for my sake. Yukta sanyasya adhyatma chetasa. Now, mai sarvani karmani sanyasya. Now, sanyasya means giving up. So, give up the results of all your activities unto me. That's what Krishna meant. Mai sarvani karmani sanyasya. Please give up all the results of your activities as an offering to me. So, karma sannyasa is giving up work. That is one meaning. Karma sannyasa has another meaning. Having the spirit of renunciation while working. You understand? Karma sannyasa, what Krishna wants us to do by saying karma sannyasa is maintain a spirit of renunciation in your activity. It's not renunciation of work, it is renunciation in work. Okay? Renunciation of work is not karma sannyasa. Renunciation in work is karma sannyasa. That's what Krishna wants us to do. But one can renounce work also if he is sufficiently purified. That also Krishna says. If you are not sufficiently purified, then you cannot give up work. Fine. So now Krishna is saying something which is very much in line with Bhakti Yoga. That is, Mai sarvani karmani sanyasya. Give up all the results of your activities as an offering to me. And adhyatma chetasaha. With full dependence on me. Your chetasa, your consciousness should be dedicated to me alone. Right? With full dependence on me. With full knowledge of me. Adhyatma chetasaha. Second, Nirashir. Nirashi means without any personal desires. Nirmamo bhutva. Nirmama. Mama means it's mine. That possessiveness is called mama. Nirmamo bhutva means you should not have any possessiveness. A sense of proprietorship you should give up. Fine. Yuddhasya vigatajvaraha. So perform your yuddha. Yuddha means your fighting. Vigatajvaraha means without any laziness or lethargy. So Krishna spoke four things in this verse. Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya. He says, offer all your activities unto me. Okay. In what spirit? Number one, adhyatma chetasaha. Means with full knowledge and dependence on Krishna. Number two, nirashir, without any personal desires. Number three, nirmamo bhutva, without a sense of proprietorship or possessiveness. Number four, yuddhasya vigatajvaraha, without any lethargy, you should fight. Clear? The shloka is clear? Prabhupada writes, this verse indicates the purpose of Bhagavad Gita. You see, Krishna is not recommending that all of us should just give up our work. This is work in a spirit of devotion. That's what Krishna is saying here. Fine. Work for the Lord. So, Prabhupada writes, he gives an example. A cashier in a bank may count, you know, thousands or lakhs of rupees, right? But all of the, he may count all of them, but whatever he is counting is not his. That belongs to the bank or the office or the big organization. So he may be giving salary to different employees. Okay, 10,000, your monthly salary. 20,000, your monthly salary. Like that, he may be giving salary to 50 employees in that branch. But it's not his money. He's a cashier. The company is providing money for all the employees. And this person is an instrument in the hands of the company management to deliver whatever salary that the different employees deserve. That's all. Similarly, the living entity also has to perform his duty as an offering to the Supreme on behalf of the Lord. He cannot have a sense of proprietorship or possessiveness, right? Whatever ingredients or facilities or property that he is coming in contact with or that is kept under his care, he is not actually belonging to him. Fine? He is like a cashier in the bank. So, now, that's why nirmama, the cashier understands this money is not mine. That is called nirmama. And he does not claim a cent for himself. Nirashir, no material desires. Okay. Similarly, one has to do prescribed duty for the Lord without reluctance. Vigatajvaraha. Cashier does not say, this cash is not mine. Okay. So why should I count and process it? No, in counting that cash and then giving to different employees, he gets his own salary, right? That is his connection with the company. Similarly, a devotee also should not think that, anyways, this is not mine, I will not take care of this. A householder will think, oh, this family is not mine ultimately. Okay, one lifetime only. He does not, he should not just give up taking care of the family. That is his responsibility to take care of the family, right, on behalf of Krishna. Fine. So, we should understand that nothing in this world belongs to us or any individual person. Everything belongs to the Lord. The Lord says, Mayi. So, with this understanding, you perform the duty that is prescribed for you. Just like giving salary to employees is prescribed for the cashier, he will do it. But he doesn't know, he knows that the cash does not belong to him. That cash belongs to the boss of the company. Similarly, whatever is prescribed for us as our duty, we need to perform that duty on behalf of the Lord without having a sense of proprietorship or ownership or possessiveness. Fine. 31st shloka. Ye me matamidam nityam anutishthanti manavah shraddhavanto nasuyanto muchyante tepi karmabhi. 31st shloka, Krishna says, Yeme matamidam nityam. Now, in the 31st and 32nd shlokas, Krishna describes the result of following his teachings and result of not following his teachings. So, Krishna gave so many teachings so far, and in conclusion, in the 30th shloka, he said, you should perform your duty depending on me, without any material desires and all. We just discussed the four points. So Krishna kind of concluded his teachings in the 30th verse. Okay, he summarized them actually in the 30th verse. So if you do not follow this, what will happen? If you follow this, what will happen? That is the subject matter of the next two verses. In the 31st verse, he says, Yeme matamidam nityam anutishthanti manavaha. Anutishthanti means one who sincerely follows my instructions. Okay. Shraddhavanto, with great faith. Anasuyanto means without any envy in the heart. Okay. If you have envy towards some person, you cannot follow what he says. Okay. So muchyante tepi karmabhi. Such a person who sincerely follows my teachings with faith and without envy, he will be freed from the bondage of all results of his actions. Muchyante means liberated. Te api karmabhi. Karmabhi means the bondage of this fruitive activities. Fine? If you follow Krishna's teachings, if you perform your prescribed duties in this spirit of detachment as an offering to the Supreme, then there is no bondage for you. He said this earlier also, but he is repeating it. Third canto, third chapter, ninth sloka is same thing. Ignarthat karmanon yatra lokoyam karma bandhanaha. So, one should have firm faith in these injunctions. That's why Krishna says, Shraddhavanto anasuyanto. So, one may follow the instructions, but one should also follow them with faith in the person who is giving instructions, with faith that by following these instructions, I will attain all success. Otherwise, superficially, sentimentally, if one performs, somebody comes and challenges, his faith will be shaken up. Right? One should faithfully follow Krishna's teachings. Okay? And without any envy towards Krishna. Shraddhavanto anasuyanto. 32nd sloka. Yetvetat abhyasuyanto nanutishthanti me matam sarvajnana vimudhamstan vidhinashtan achetasaham. Yetu yetvetat abhyasuyanto. Whoever has this asuya, asuya means envy, out of envy, na anutishthanti me matam, if one does not follow what I have taught them, okay, out of envy, if one does not follow Krishna's instructions, what will happen? Sarva jnana vimudhastan. Such a person will be devoid of all knowledge and discrimination. Okay, without any discriminatory power, without proper knowledge, he will just lead his life. Proper knowledge and discriminatory power is coming from Krishna, and out of envy you rejected his teachings. Where will you have knowledge and discrimination? Okay, Krishna says that. So, vidhi nashtana chetasaha, and such a person is nashtan, ruined, achetasaha, is completely befooled and without any Krishna consciousness. Fine? So, by following the instructions of Krishna, you will be free from bondage and liberated. You will attain all success. By disregarding the teachings of Krishna, one will be befooled and one will be ignorant. Fine? So, these two verses are describing the effect of following and not following Krishna's teachings. Now, a person who is aware of the punishments for his sinful reactions, and such a person may sometimes be afraid of committing such sinful activities, right? So, will a person who is aware of the punishment of sinful reactions be afraid of committing them? Generally, yes. Not always. Even if one knows the result of his sinful activity, one may still perform them. Okay? One may still not have sufficient fear. Okay? Even if he has fear also, he may perform. Because of the attachment to the temporary enjoyment that he gets out of that activity. A person who is smoking cigarette knows that will be injurious to his health. Right, even if the cigarette people also, they write it on the packet or billboard or whatever, it is injurious to your health. But still, the person is kind of attached to the enjoyment, temporary enjoyment that comes out of smoking that cigarette. Or some doctors may recommend, you should not take oily foods. You should not take fried items. Or you should not take so many sweets. Doctors may recommend to a patient, but the patient is attached to that taste of that fried food or sweets. So the patient may eat. Fine. So even such people are impelled to act sinfully due to strong past habits and impressions. These are called vasanas and samskaras. So there is vasana, means previous life impressions. So samskaras are there, lot of previous habits and impressions are there, overwhelming a person. Because of that, even knowingly also one may do many mistakes. Okay, ignorance is not the cause of every mistake. In ignorance we may commit mistakes, that's there. But every mistake is not committed out of ignorance only. Even in knowledge also one may commit mistake. Why is it so? Just because there is an attachment to the temporary pleasure by performing that mistake. Okay. So, and what to speak of a person who is not even aware that it is a mistake. Even if a person who is in knowledge also may commit mistake, what to speak of a person who is not in knowledge? Right? So, now this discussion takes us to the next sloka. That is 33rd sloka. Krishna speaks in the 33rd sloka about the conditioned nature of a human being or of a living entity. Now in the 30th sloka, he told us what to do. You have to work in the spirit of detachment as an offering to me. Fine, without any possessiveness, etc., etc. In 31 and 32, these two slokas, Krishna spoke the result of following his injunctions and result of not following his injunctions. Now, if you don't follow the injunctions, in spite of knowing things, what will happen? And why at all people will disregard my teachings despite knowing that my teachings will bring all success? That is because of their conditioned nature. Okay, that is the 33rd sloka. Krishna says, sadrisham cheshtate svasyaha prakritir jnanavanapi prakritim yanti bhutani nigraha kim karishyasi kim karishyati. So sadrisham cheshtate svasyaha prakritir jnanavanapi. So one will act according to one's acquired nature. Jnanavan api means even if he is knowledgeable of the reaction to his activities, still he performs some activities which are little detrimental to his spiritual progress. Why? Prakriti is there. Prakriti is modes of material nature. They impel a person to perform even sinful activities also. So prakritim yanti bhutani nigraha kim karishyati. Okay, every single living entity is impelled by the material modes to act in certain way. Okay, so nigraha kim karishyati, what can repression accomplish? If one cannot forcefully subdue a person from performing some activity, okay, either secretly or intermittently, he may just get into that. But our whole sadhana process is trying to take shelter of the association of devotees and try to just give positive engagement to the senses so that the senses will be diverted from the negative engagements, right, which they have been engaging since time immemorial because of past impressions and modes of material nature. Okay, so on our own we may not be able to overcome our conditionings. But if we take shelter of the association of devotees and we sincerely endeavor, if we have desire, if we offer prayer and if we endeavor to overcome them, it is possible, right, in the association of devotees, fine, in a favorable association. But on your own, if you try to suppress them, one day it may come out also, nigraha kim karishyati, fine. So now, nigraha kim karishyati is for an average person who is not practicing bhakti. But when a person is performing bhakti, one can actually effortlessly overcome them to the degree one is sincere in that performance. The sincerity is not there, that's a different thing. But if one is sincerely practicing bhakti, one can overcome the swabhava, all the previous impressions, samskaras, And what is that called? Vasanas. Vasanas and samskaras you can overcome over a period of time. It may take a while. But by taking shelter of bhakti only you can do. But this nigraha kam karishyati is specifically applicable to the limitations of karma and jnana processes. Okay. So the scriptural injunctions of nigraha. Nigraha means controlling, repression, right? Subduing your propensities, sinful propensities. So the scriptural injunctions of nishkama karma yoga can purify and enlighten an impure hearted person. Okay. And the scriptural instructions of jnana yoga can purify a person who is pure hearted. You are already purified, then you are qualified for jnana yoga, and by performing jnana yoga you can elevate yourself further. But you are not yet pure. Okay, you have some sinful impressions or some material propensities or impurities in your heart. But by performing nishkama karma yoga, you can be elevated. Fine. But neither karma yoga nor jnana yoga, both cannot purify a person who is extremely impure. If the impurity is within certain allowable threshold or limits, nishkama karma yoga can purify you to a certain degree and take you to the next stage of jnana yoga or something like that. But if someone is extremely pure, nigraha kim karishyasi. So this verse is speaking about a person who is extremely impure, not pure, extremely impure. So at that case, only bhakti yoga will work. Akamaha sarvakama va moksha kama udaradhihi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purushah param. Kirata hunandra pulinda pulkasha abhira sumbha yavanah khasadayah. You remember all these verses from second canto? So point is, however impure one person may be, bhakti can elevate that person. Fine. So bhakti yoga arising from the causeless mercy of Krishna and the association of sinful, saintly devotees can deliver even the most sinful people. How sinful is Bhrigari? He was taking pleasure in killing the animals, not completely, half killing animals. When the animal is half killed and the animal is crying out of intense pain, Bhrigari takes great pleasure in that pain. Killing is one thing, but enjoying the pain of death of a living entity, that's even more sadistic, right? Even more cruel and demoniac, right? But such a person is also elevated by chanting the holy names of the Lord and by the association of Narada Muni. Fine. So karma yoga cannot purify him. Jnana yoga cannot purify him. Ashtanga yoga question hi nahi. He cannot focus his mind on the Supreme Lord. What Ashtanga yoga he can perform, right? Jnana yoga definitely is not qualified. Karma yoga he may try, but it is not purifying because he is too sinful. His sinful thing is not moderate. If somebody gets, say, 35% in all the exams, somehow he's passed, right? He can go to the next grade. Fine, no problem. But everybody, he's getting, 10 marks and 5 marks in every single exam. How can you promote him at all? Right? So there is no possibility. But Bhakti Yoga can promote all the backbenchers. Right? So, yes, Prabhuji.
Yes, sir. The results are not following the cycle.
Now, see, in the previous shloka, in the 32nd shloka, Krishna spoke about result of disregarding my teachings. Somebody may question, why at all people will disregard your teachings? Knowing if I tell this verse to them, nobody will disregard your teachings. Right? Because they know that will be detrimental to their spiritual progress. That will keep them in bondage. Why anyone will disregard your teachings? Let me declare this verse to everyone. Then Krishna says, no, it's not that easy. Even if you give this knowledge to people, still because of their deep-rooted conditioned nature, they will not be able to follow my injunctions. That's the... Yes. Now, Acharyas give this example, give this explanation for this verse. Now, point is, There is a smooth transition between 32nd and 33rd verse, okay, which we just discussed, right? Why a person, even if he knows that not following Krishna's injunctions will keep him in bondage, why he will disregard? Because of conditioned nature. Fine? So that is mentioned here, because of conditioned nature. But towards the end of this sloka, Krishna also said that conditioned nature, because of conditioned nature, people cannot follow my teachings. That's one point. Second point is, conditioned nature is so intense and so strong that it cannot be suppressed if the conditioning is so deep-rooted. So then there is another nice transition that brings a little deeper discussion. Like that. So, and Acharyas explain this verse by giving the limitations of karma and jnana pass. But however degraded a person may be, bhakti is glorious. This all Krishna is not saying, but Acharyas are using this verse to give all these important points. Right? So, Krishna just said, conditioned nature is so strong, but you cannot suppress it. Because in karma yoga things, there are so many do's and don'ts. Right? So that will purify you. So, but do's and don'ts, you are not, because your conditioning is so much that you cannot align yourself with do's and don'ts at all. Right? So then there is no connection between the process and the practitioner. He cannot be called a practitioner only. For such a person, just give mercy of devotees. Give mercy of Krishna. Give him prasad. Make him chant holy names, whatever. At least if it is reverse also fine. Mara mara also is fine. Let him be elevated from there. Okay. 34. Bhagavad Gita, actually every line will give rise to multiple explanations. 34th sloka. Prabhupada writes in the 33rd purport, academically one may be very learned, but because of his long association with material nature, he is in bondage. Krishna consciousness helps one to get out of the material entanglement, even though one may be engaged in his prescribed duties in terms of material existence. Okay. 34th sloka. Indriya, indriyasyendriyasyarthe ragadveshavyavasthitau tayornavashamagachet tauhyasya paripanthinau. Here Krishna says, indriyasya arthe, indriyasya is senses, for the senses. And indriyasya arthe, artha is purpose or object. Indriyasya arthe is basically sense objects. Senses and sense objects. That's what the first line means. Indriyasya, indriyasya arthe, raga dveshav vyavasthitav. Now there is raga, means attachment, dvesha, aversion. Okay, pertaining to the senses and sense objects. For example, your eyes would like to see some pleasant ambience around. Very nice flowers and trees and garden and nice sofa and all. And there is some lot of dirt there and lot of garbage is put there. You don't feel like seeing it. So there is an aversion to this garbage and there is an attachment towards that scenic place. Right? So there is raga and dvesha in regards to senses and sense objects. Indriya and indriyasya artha. Fine? So, indriyasya indriyasya arthe raga dveshav vyavasthitav tayorna vashamagachet tauhi asya paripanthinav. One should not come under the control of these obstacles of raga and dvesha. Tayorna vasham agachet, na vasham agachet. Don't come under the control of this attachment and aversion to sense objects. Basically, Krishna is emphasizing neutrality and equanimity. Don't be too attached to something very beautiful. Don't be too averse to something which is not that beautiful. Right? You should maintain some neutrality. You should not get so overexcited with happiness. You should not be so depressed with distress. Right? So, we should not be too much into raga and dvesha. Okay? So, on the path of self-realization, these two, attachment and aversion, are not very recommended. Right? Paripanthino. Paripanthino means they are stumbling blocks. Raga and dvesha, attachment and aversion, especially in regards to senses and sense objects, are actually stumbling blocks or obstacles on the path of spiritual progress. The verse meaning is clear? Fine. Next, Now you see, attachment means what? Bringing one's senses in contact with the sense objects. That is attachment. Oh, my body likes to sit on a very nice sofa set so that I get some soft touch. I can't be sitting on hard floor. That is the body's need, the sense of touch has that need. I can't be touching any cold object. I have to be in touch with some warm objects only. Alright. So then ears cannot tolerate certain kind of music. I want some pleasant music, melodious music. I don't want this pop music and then that kind of fast music. I don't want. So both are material there. Okay. So attachment is basically bringing one's senses in contact with sense objects which are giving pleasure to the senses. And what is aversion? Aversion means hatred towards those sense objects that actually disturb the senses, that do not give enjoyment to the senses. So you are averse to sense objects that do not give pleasure to you. For example, you are a non-spicy man. If I give you mirchi, you are averse to it. You are a spicy person. If I give you some sweet and sugar, you are averse to that. He wants mirchi, right? Mirchi, if somebody sees, they just run away. And some people like, hey, there is no mirchi in this, there is no taste on it. You see, there is attachment and aversion, all in regards to tongue. Right? So, come above it. One should not fall under the control of such attachment and aversion, knowing that there are material. Fine? Now, Arjuna might ask, what if one adopts to other duties such as non-violence, rather than doing one's own duty of fighting on the battle due to attachment and repulsion? Now Arjuna has a question, important question. Oh Krishna, you said attachment and aversion. Right? Now I am averse to fighting. Can I skip fighting? Okay, some people may be attached to fighting. Should he fight? Okay. Krishna's point is, if it is your prescribed duty to fight, whether you like it or not, you fight. And if it is not your prescribed duty to fight, whether you like it or don't like it, you should not fight. Getting right? So attachment and aversion. So above this attachment and aversion, you should come to a stage of understanding whether it is your duty or not. You may be attached to cooking, but you are not in kitchen department. Fine. Or you may be attached, you may be averse to singing, but you are asked to sing. Right? So if it is a duty, you should perform to the best of your ability. That's what Krishna is trying to tell us. Don't just go by your choice of your senses. Right? So whatever gives me enjoyment, I will do. Now let's see what Krishna says as an answer to Arjuna's question. Right? Can we show this attachment? What if somebody shows attachment and aversion to one's prescribed duties, depending on whether they are giving happiness or distress to his senses? That's the question of Arjuna. Now, Krishna answers. Shreyan swadharmo vigunah paradharmat swanushthitat swadharme nidhanam shreyah paradharmo bhayavah. Shreyan swadharmo vigunah. If you are a person who has knowledge, you are a mature person, better you perform your swadharma, means your own prescribed duties. Right? Shreyan swadharmo vigunah. Even if you are not that great in performing your activities, even if you are faulty in performing your prescribed duties, better you perform that only. Paradharmatsu anushthitat. Doing others' duty perfectly is not recommended for you. Do your own duty even if it is not perfect. But don't do others' duty even if you can do it perfectly. You are not authorized to do it. Fine. For example, Brahman initiation is given to somebody. Okay. So, he can go inside the altar and then do aarti. Somebody is not given that, is not authorized by a guru that you can worship the deities directly entering the altar. So he says, I have the ability and I have the taste for it. So let me just go inside the altar and then do it. Daga hai kya? No daga. So one cannot get into that. So whatever is swadharma, then one has to do that. Fine. But in bhakti realm, if one has an intense desire to worship the deities, definitely Krishna will reciprocate with that desire and then give him the necessary qualification through his representatives. That's different. But I'm just telling some crude example. So whatever is, whatever you are meant to do, whatever is authorized as a prescribed duty for you, please better do that. That is basically alignment to some authority. Basically, if you choose how to act and how not to act, depending on what your senses are comfortable with or uncomfortable with, then you are just living an independent life. But if you align with some authority and then follow the recommendations of the authority, either in doing something or not doing something, then that will take you ahead in your spiritual progress. That alignment with authority will take you ahead in spiritual progress. So Krishna says, even in a faulty manner, better you perform your prescribed duties only. Even if you think that you can perform others' duties perfectly, don't do it. You are a kshatriya, your duty is fighting. Even if you are not a great expert in fighting, better you fight only. Okay? But you can't say that I will beg nicely. I'm very good at begging. I'll beg. No, that's not meant for you. That's meant for brahmanas. That's meant for sannyasis. You are not a brahmana. You are not a sannyasi. What are you? You are a kshatriya and you are a grahastha. Right? Grahastha kshatriya is not meant for begging. He is meant for fighting. He is meant to do management and administration and thus make his living. Right? So, but you can't adopt to something which is not meant for you. Okay. Swadharme nidhanam shreyaha paradharmo bhayavaha. Even death in the course of doing one's own duty is beneficial. But to follow another's path is dangerous. Okay. While doing your prescribed duty of fighting, even if you die also, it's fine. But even if you live by adopting to some other duty, that's not very much appreciated. What kind of life is that? For a kshatriya, to die on the battlefield is also very glorious and prestigious. And that will take him to heavenly planets. But for a kshatriya, to run away from the battlefield, giving up his swadharma, and then take to the job of begging from somewhere, that is not very much appreciated. Fine. That's what Krishna is saying. Basically, do your duty. Don't imitate others. Connecting this verse to the previous verse, what is that? The previous verse he says that don't fall into this raga and dvesha, attachment and aversion. So, in this verse he is clarifying more. Don't be attached to not performing your duty. Or don't be attached to doing someone else's duty perfectly. Don't be averse to you performing your duty. Okay, so that is what Krishna is trying to recommend in this. So there is some kind, as soon as a person takes birth as a human being, that human being has some kind of obligations to the society, the parents, the siblings, the rishis, devarshi bhutaptranam pitrunam nakinkaronayam rinicharajan, you know that verse. So deva, rishi, apta, pitrus. So there is some obligation. There is obligation to the teachers. There is obligation to the brahmanas who are teaching us. There is obligation to the demigods. We have to conduct sacrifices and all that. So one has to align with that. But if one is an exclusive devotee of Lord Krishna and sincerely rendering service to Krishna with all his mind and heart and soul, then he may be relieved of obligations. But otherwise these obligations are there. Material duties as per one's psychological, psychophysical conditions and are to be performed. Right? Now, material duties are according to psychophysical conditions, but spiritual duties ordered by Guru are for Lord's service. So they may be different, but the authorized direction is always good for the performer rather than whimsically adopting to anyone else's job. Okay. So everyone has to cleanse his heart by gradual process, not abruptly. Oh, this is more purifying, let me jump into it. So that is not proper. But all these are only if you are not practicing Bhakti Yoga. When you are coming to the realm of Bhakti Yoga, then you are directly under the guidance of Krishna and his representatives, right, who are also devotees. Then you have to do the needful according to the time, place, circumstances, as per the need of service. I am a brahmana. right? I will not do backup. You don't say all that. This is not my duty. Anyone's duty. Whoever is living here, they can do worship. They can assist in some way. Getting right? So this is all in the Karma Yoga realm. This is Krishna is giving these teachings, right? So, Prabhupada writes in the third canto, 22nd chapter, somewhere in 5th, 6th, 7th purports, a guru ascertains the nature of the disciple and engages the disciples accordingly. Okay, somebody is good at painting. Prabhupada gives examples also. Somebody is good at painting, he will be engaged in painting. Somebody is good at he says writing, he should write. Somebody is good at something else, he will be given that kind of service. Guru identifies the nature of the disciple and engages him in the relevant service. Okay. Now, sometimes there is a necessity to perform certain kind of service within the bhakti realm, I am speaking on a practical grounds. And there are some kind of services that anyone can do. It's not based on preference, it's just based on ability. Anyone can wash pots. Okay, you may not prefer to wash the pots, that's a different thing. But it's not, there's nothing about nature there. Okay, it's you have to just wash pots like this. Anyone can do it. That's the need of the service. As a devotee, you are expected to be ready for the service. No? Right? So that is about that. Then the discussion is flexibility to perform Krishna service according to time, place, circumstances and the necessity. Fine. Now, there is something about ability or capacity. Now, our Santosh Krishna Prabhu is there, you know. So he is taking care of the worship of all these 10 temples in Vrindavan. If I ask him to type a document, right, he doesn't know. MS Office kolo, Word kolo, kolo. MS Office kya hota hai Prabhuji? He'll ask like that, right? He doesn't know ABCD typing. Okay, and if I ask our Gaurav Sharma Prabhu, okay, to take care of worship or something, he may do some to certain degree because he's in these circles. Okay, but certain managing that labor and then cleaners and all that he may not be able to manage, right? So he has certain experience and ability and talent to do some service. So accordingly, you may engage. But there are some things that everyone can do. Okay, so we should be able to extend ourselves to perform a service according to the need of the hour, right? But as far as nature and talents are concerned, everybody is having their own natures. You will generally not get that kind of services from your authorities, generally. But after some time, by performing some service for a long time, you may get little exhausted or bored, you want to break or you want to change. That's naturally the mind says. But still, if you extend, you will get blessings. But if needed, you may say it. Okay, Prabhu, kitna der, aur kitna der. But that's generally not recommended in bhakti realm, right? But if that is bothering you so much, you can always have a discussion in a private and confidential manner and do the needful. Makes sense. Panch saal ho gaya, HOD banao na Prabhu mujhe. Right? Some people may say like that. Right? Aur kitna der assistant. Right? Fine. That's not basically, there's no bhakti there. Right? But it's a genuine human need, you may just do the needful according to it. Okay, we'll take a break now. So next few verses are about conquering lust. We'll discuss after break. But does that satisfy you? Do you have any more question?
Yes.
That became conditioning. Nigrahakyam karishyasi.
video about some healing services. As well as, at least you are room here, and they say, see, I can do this service double times.
I can understand it. I am also seen like that at some time. I said, I am ready for that also, but there is more need. This not everyone can do. So point is, depending on time place circumstances, we need to empathize with other devotees. Fine. We are not pure devotees. We are not Madhavendra Puri. But we should be aspiring to follow the footsteps of Madhavendra Puri. But in our attempt to follow the footsteps of Madhavendra Puri like that, going all the way to Jagannath Puri and get Chandan and all that, we may sometimes fail, right? Understand the devotees, that phase of extending himself to do that kind of seva. Okay, I'm attached to, it may not be attachment, conditioning or what to say, I'm comfortable or used to doing it. Suddenly cleaning my dal there, difficult hota hai. Someone else can do it more efficiently. Just empathizing with that kind of person, but knowing that he has service attitude. Service attitude somebody will have, but he is good and more efficient in delivering something rather than something else. He feels that I can contribute better in this seva than this seva. If the guru feels that it's a valid thing, then he may be allowed to do so. We should not have any objection with that. If the authorities, the senior people are approving it, we should not have any objection with that. But when we are on the receiving end, if the senior authority says, still you should do it, then we should do it. But someone else is not being told, you are not insisting, the authorities are not insisting the other person, you have to extend yourself and do this, Prabhu. Although it's not your nature, although you are more comfortable doing this seva, or although you can contribute better in this seva, we want you, for your purification, you do that. Okay? Sometimes authorities will say that, he will do it. Sometimes authorities may not say that. They may allow him to do what he is comfortable with doing it. We should just go with that decision made by the senior people. Okay. Problem is, we become concerned or unnecessarily skeptical. Arre, poor fellow, who achcha seva achcha kar raha tha, unnecessarily authorities put him in somewhere else. You're not fit for it, man. So we judge the authorities. Or sometimes, he is given so much of freedom to do what he wants to do. He should be given some purification. If we like the person, right, it's all mental. So if you like that devotee, and if I tell him to do something which he doesn't like to do, okay, you will sympathize with him. And if you don't like that devotee, and if I allow him to do what he wants to do, and not pushing him to do something else, then you will have an issue with me. Getting right? So, it's all mind only. Basically, Radhananda Maharaj has made it very clear in his recent talk. Okay, if authorities and guru and senior people are okay with what this devotee is doing, so you should not have any confusions in mind. We should not feel bad. First, we should ask ourselves, why am I being bothered about his engagement? Because he is getting to do what he likes to do. Or if he has some soft corner for him, he is not getting to do what he likes to do. Array, authorities know how to deal with him. And even if they don't know also, that's between them and him, them and Krishna. We have nothing to do with it. But as far as we are on the receiving end, if authorities are telling us to do something, to be malleable and to be flexible becomes our duty. And if it's too much difficult for you, can always express also. Okay? That's like one stepping down a little bit. Dromara said to Narada Muni, I think I cannot handle what you told me. I'm a Kshatriya. You told me about being detached and then forgiving Suruchi or just going and playing it. It doesn't fit me. Right? So Dromaras was honest in expressing or saying no to what Narada Muni said. Okay. But on the other hand, Parivrat Maharaj or there are many other people who just accepted whatever instruction came, even if it is difficult for them to execute. Getting right? We have to be clear from our side.
Many devotees have difficulty reading Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, especially the first Things are difficult to understand. So then they say, this is not our swabhava, our not good to read or understand. They may read also, but they say, understanding is not for where for us.
Reading I cannot do. You give me pots, I will think 12 hours.
Correct, correct. Yeah, it happens with every single person, Prabhu. Every devotee. Okay, let me not be too specific and too emphatic. Most people, it will happen. There are very few people, Manushyanam Sahasreshu, who are thoroughly flexible with whatever comes, right? But most people operate that way only. Somebody's Sastric study is not their cup of herbal tea. Okay, Sastric study is not meant for them. It means that they may read, but they can't be so analytical. I can say, I am telling whatever you said, I will say, cosmology is not meant for me. Right? Fifth canto, when I am making Subodhini, I call Bhavaneshwar Prabhu. Prabhu, it's a panche chapter, especially those three chapters of movements of sun. My head will move in all directions when I have to understand that movements of sun. You write whatever, the English part and the aesthetics part I will take care, but I don't know the technical aspect of it. Movements of sun, I didn't understand till now. Right? And I don't have much. Sorry, secret, your video recording or what? Okay. I don't have much inclination to pursue that matter also. It's okay. I didn't understand. It's okay, I'll go. I like prayers of Jambudvipa. I'm more excited with prayers of residents of Jambudvipa than the structure of Jambudvipa. But it dutifully make all the charts and diagrams. I did that in my personal study. But movements of sin, I didn't understand. It's okay. Because not everybody can understand and like everything. There are 18,000 slokas. All are divine. Every syllable can give you Krishna Prem. But every syllable is not giving you even minimal excitement also. What to speak of Krishna Prem? Right? But there are some slokas that really penetrate into your heart. That is sufficient. Okay? You may not understand. At the end of your course, you may not master all 18,000 slokas. I am telling very practical thing. But if you are excited with certain sections also, and lead according to that sections also, you will be nourished. You should respect every syllable of Bhagavatam, but you may be able to relate with only few sections of Bhagavatam. That's all right, that's fine. There's nothing wrong in it. Okay.
Within the devotional sphere, since all activities are devotional, yes, you understand nature and accordingly try to engage them, a more fruitful manner for the sake of that devotee and also, for the requirements. But outside, devotees who are not parts of temples, the practicing devotees, but they are outside. For them, they have to have a job. Most people have to have a job, and they are engaged for the need of money. But it's not, most of their time goes for the need of money, not their actual nature. So, this Krishna is saying it's a very dangerous path. So, how do we?
Now you see, we are still in third chapter only. When we go to 12th chapter, Krishna gives that bifurcation. If you can't do this, do this. If you can't do this, do that. So Krishna is not making it very exclusive and then you have to do like this only. He is not saying it. No, we are progressing in our Bhagavad Gita study. At this stage, this is the instruction. But the ultimate essence is Manushya, what is that? Manmana bhava mad bhakta madhyaji mam namaskar. If you can do that, all this swadharma and all, you forget it. Getting right? But we are in the swadharma realm, there is only comparison between these two things. Doing your duty in a faulty manner, number two, doing someone else's duty in a better manner, perfect manner. Between these two, you choose the first one. That's what Krishna said. At this stage, this is the instruction. But what the ultimate stage, because all verses are not the conclusions of Bhagavad Gita, by the way. 30th sloka is, you can say, conclusion. Conclusion or whatever, essential instruction. But this, what is it, 35th sloka, you cannot say like that. Prabhupada never wrote in the purport that this is the essential, most conclusive message of Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? It's, Krishna is describing certain phase or certain stage in the spiritual progress. Right? You are a part of Varnashtam. Better do duties of your Varna than another Varna. Simple. But when you are in Bhakti realm, you are on the altar, you are a Brahman. You are speaking, you are Brahman. But you have to deal with some vendor, you have become a Vaishya. You have to do management. I'm into management also. You become a Kshatriya. Whatever, keep changing gears. Right? So, all this you can. You're a tech savvy person. And otherwise, you are a person who is washing pots. Everything you have to do. All Guru Seva. In service of Guru and Krishna, there is no considerations of Varna and Ashram. Naham Vipro, Nachanarapatir, Napi Vaishya, Nasudru. But when you're speaking about Varna and Ashram, okay, you do the duties of your Varna, then doing someone else's Varna. That's all Krishna said. Right. Hare Krishna.
You don't upload all this stuff.
No, no.
All the QA stuff you don't upload.
Why that? I'll actually show you two ideas that I think we can
do. Remove. You decide, don't tell me also.
Okay.
Basically, anything very sensitive and personal and little casual and not that sober, that you don't upload. Good, the crisp.
Chaitanya sir also gave this intellectual talk because he never enforces somebody to become like him or you should understand what I speak.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes some devotees when they study scriptures, they enforce others that you should understand us, how will you progress. So their enforcing is like, it should be mild, not permitted to the heart.
You can recommend, you cannot force. Okay. And also you should recommend according to bandwidth. Different people come to me, Prabhu, I cannot memorize shlokas. I said, no need. Some people say, Prabhu, I have lot of eagerness to memorize shloka, but can you give me some technique? I'll give technique. This is how you should do it. Some people say, Prabhu, mereko Sanskrit aata nahi, Prabhu. Translation memorize guru. So you have to be personal and empathetic to people. Okay. Some people have some spark, you fan it. Some people have no spark only, you can't just lit there. So okay, relax. He is meant to do something else. Otherwise, everybody will become the same. Right? No pressure, nothing. Even within Vidyapeeth, I don't pressure you so much. Okay. You are allowed to express your devotion. Okay. I cannot sit straight, always. Yeah. 36th shloka. In this chapter, we have seen up till now Arjuna's confusion and Krishna's two kinds of answers. So Arjuna's confusion is, should I stick to action or should I take to renunciation? Fine. And first Krishna answered saying that prematurely renouncing action is not recommended. So better you stick to action, means prescribed duties, and perform Nishkama Karma Yoga. Fine. So that he elaborated from 3rd chapter, 3rd verse till 16th verse. Next. Even if you are qualified for renunciation, even if you are mature enough and detached enough to perform Jnana Yoga, still you should perform Nishkama Karma Yoga only to set the right example for common people to follow. Fine? So, these are the two sections we discussed so far in response to Arjuna's questions. Fine? So, whether you are not qualified for Jnana Yoga and performing Nishkama Karma Yoga, or whether you are qualified for Jnana Yoga and still performing Nishkama Karma Yoga to set an example for people to follow. So there is one common thing that is a formidable enemy in our spiritual progress. What is that? Lust. So how to deal with that lust? That Krishna describes in the last few verses of this chapter, from verse number 36 to verse number 43. Fine. So this is the circular or cyclic flow of third chapter. You can see Gita Subodhini, page number 55. Fine. So Arjuna's question is here. Then Krishna recommended Nishkam Karma Yoga. Then even if you are qualified for Jnana Yoga, still you perform Nishkam Karma Yoga to set the right example for people. Okay. In either case, you have to deal with lust. Then how to deal with lust is mentioned in the last section. Yat karoshi yadashnasi. So when we come to 9.27, we better discuss it. Okay, instead of discussing it here. But before yat karoshi yadashnasi, there is another verse. What is that? Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya. So that patram pushpam phalam toyam is pure devotional service. But yat karoshi yadashnasi verse is not pure devotional service. Okay. For example, he likes halwa and you make halwa and give him. Okay. That is 9.26. Now, you are good at making jilebi. You have made jilebi and gave him. That is yatkaroshi dashnasi. 9.27. Means, you want to do something. You are good at doing something. Okay. And you offer it to Krishna. Whatever you do. Whatever you do, give it to me. That's one level. Whatever I want, you do that. That's another level. You understand? So, 9.26. Patram pushpam phalam toyam is, numbers are correct, right? Patram pushpam phalam toyam is doing what Krishna wants us to do. Then 9.27, that yatkaroshi yadashnasi is doing whatever we want to do and then giving it to Krishna. Fine. Now, if you compare that yatkaroshi yadashnasi with 9.30, mai sarvani karmani sanyasya adhyatma chetasa nirashir nirmamo bhutva yuddhasya vigatajvaraha. Okay. So, this is basically more in line with 9.26 only, not 9.27. 9.27 says, whatever you want to do, you do and then give it to me. But here he says, mai sarvani karmani sanyasa, till that point it may seem to match with 9.27, but adhyatma chetasa is mentioned. Then after that nirashi is also there, nirmama is also there. So without any laziness, you are without any sense of proprietorship, without any material personal desires, with consciousness of me, you offer everything to me. Okay. So, in 9.27, all these 27, all these things are not there. Yat karoshi, dashnasi, yajjuhoshi, dadasi, yat tapasyasi, kaunteya, tat kurushva, madarpanam. Whatever you do, give it to me. Okay, that is only mai sarvani karmani sanyasya, that much only. But in this 3.30, there are more elements added. Adhyatma chetasa is there, nirashi is there, nirmama is there, yuddhasya vegatajvaraha. Yuddhasya Vagatajvara also may somewhat align with 9.27, but these three elements, very important elements. There is no sense of proprietorship, no personal desires, and in consciousness of Krishna are qualifiers to this verse that puts it in the realm of pure bhakti. Yes, please.
So many qualifications are given here. So Krishna is telling one is not following them, he is going.
Now, you see, ultimately if you do not come to this stage, then one may be ruined compared to, in regards to his potential greatest achievement. But see, when Krishna is sometimes emphasizing on the highest, he may minimize all these other smaller things. But someone is progressively coming to this stage, right? Krishna is recommending and endorsing that also, right? So in comparison to this, this is not the best.
Okay.
Purpose of everything. Ultimately, you have to come to this stage.
Right. You are not able to come very soon.
Yeah. If you just stop at Karma Yoga, if you stop at Jnana Yoga, if you stop at Ashtanga without graduating to Bhakti Yoga, then in one sense it is useless only. But you have an opportunity to go ahead. Basically, we need to understand the context in which things are said. Okay? So, from an eternal, ultimate perspective, it is useless or it is not that appreciated. But from the perspective of progress of a conditioned living entity from so and so, the most degraded stage to little next stage, that is also very much appreciated. Right? In that sense. Does it make sense, Prabhu? Yeah. Now we will begin this next section. 36th Shloka. Arjuna has a question. Okay. After he has heard in the 34th and 35th Shlokas about Krishna's emphasis on Swadharma and according to one's own nature. Okay. In the last three verses, Arjuna has a very important question. Especially referring to 3.34. Krishna spoke about raga and dvesha, attachment and aversion. So now, jiva is naturally attached to sense objects that give him pleasure. Okay, but sometimes he may be attached to certain sense objects that are even forbidden in the scriptures. What will happen to that kind of jiva? So Arjuna is concerned about it. He is asking this question. 36th shloka. Arjuna uvacha athakena prayuktoyam papam charati purushah anichchan api varsneya balat ivaniyojitah athakena prayuktoyam papam charati purushah. My dear Krishna, there are some people who are impelled to perform papa, right? Papam charati purushaha. And how anichchan, although they don't have the ichcha to do that papa, right? I don't want to do this sinful activity, but still some force is really pushing me to perform this activity, right? So anichchan api varshneya balad iva niyojitaha. Balad means with forcefully such a person is engaged in service. Right. In service means in so and so activity. So what is that? What is that which impels a person to perform sinful activity even without his own desire? Okay, nobody desires to perform a sin. Especially if such person is in knowledge of the reactions of that sin. If someone does not have any faith that I will get some reaction to this sin, then he may perform. But you know, if I do this sin, I will get this reaction. And you are convinced about it also. But still, you feel like doing it. You know, if I eat fried item, then my health will be spoiled. But still, you want to do it. Why? Lust. Krishna says. Krishna's answer. 37th shloka. Kama esha krodha esha.
Kama esha krodha esha.
Rajo gunasam udbhavaham. Mahashano mahapapma. Vidhyena iha vairinam. So, a living entity is actually part and parcel of the Supreme Lord Krishna, and he is originally spiritual, pure, without any material contaminations. Okay. Therefore, by nature, he is not subject to any sinful activities in this world, naturally. But Arjuna asked about the perverted nature of that soul. When that pure soul is a conditioned soul, in the conditioned state, that soul acts against his own personal nature, right, of not serving Krishna, of not loving Krishna, and then engaging in some sense gratification that is detrimental to his spiritual progress. So what is the answer to this? Answer is kama yesha krodha yesha rajo guna samudbhavaha. Kama means lust, which is born of rajoguna, material mode of passion. And when it is not fulfilled, what will happen? Krodha. We discussed in that 8 steps of fall down in the second chapter, 62nd verse and all that. ध्यायतो विषयान पुंसान संगस्तेषोपजायते संगात संजायते कामान कामात क्रोधो भी जायते. बिकॉज ऑफ मेटीरियल अटैचमेंट यू गेट लस्ट. व्हेन द लस्ट इज नॉट फुलफिल्ड यू विल बिकम एंग्री. सो काम येष क्रोध येष रजोगुण समुद्भव. सो बिकॉज ऑफ मोड ऑफ पैशन वन विल बी विक्टिम ऑफ लस्ट एंड एंगर. एंगर इज बिकॉज ऑफ अनफुलफिल्ड लस्ट. ओके, लस्ट इज intense longing to fulfill some sense gratificatory desire. It need not be sex desire only. Lust could be any desire, any material desire. Okay. So mahashano mahapapma. So mahashano ashana means eating, right? So that's what is proposed right here. Ashana, all devouring. So ashana basically is asnami, eating. Mahashana means it's all devouring. Eating can also be called devouring in a more gross way, right? It's not simply eating, it's like devouring. Mahashana means it's all devouring. Lust is all devouring. Mahapapma, extremely sinful. Vidhiyena iha vairinam. Understand that it is the most formidable enemy of all the living entities. So only because of lust, you are impelled to perform sinful activities even against your desire. That's what Krishna says. So ultimately, according to the acharyas, one will give in to lust because of the misuse of minute independence. Krishna is the supreme lord and he is supremely independent. Fine. And living entity being an amsha, part of Krishna, the living entity is also independent but minutely. He is supremely independent, we are minutely independent. So if we misuse that independence, then we will get into troubles. Fine. So when some lusty desire or thought comes to the mind, by using our independence and knowledge, we should be mature enough to just reject that sinful thought. But if I use my independence to dwell little more on that sinful thought and enter deeper into that thought, and the thought becomes action and action becomes entanglement, and in that entanglement of sinful reactions, then one will be lost, right? If we allow the mind to go somewhere else, okay, and mind will take us away with it, and mind will not allow us to come back to what we are doing currently. Fine. So it's all because of misuse of minute independence, as Prabhupada emphasizes. Okay. And this wrath is a product of mode of ignorance. Lust is product of mode of passion, rajoguna. And wrath or anger is product of mode of ignorance or tamoguna. Fine. So the service attitude that we all have for Krishna is transformed into propensity for sense enjoyment. Jivera swarupahai Krishnera nitya das. The dasatva is transformed into sense enjoyment in this material world. So, but there is an opportunity to spiritualize this kama and krodha also. Lust and anger can also be engaged in spiritual activities. Lust can be transformed into love for Krishna. Lust means intense longing for some sense object. But if you have intense longing for some service of Krishna, then it is wonderful. Next, anger can be employed against these miscreants, demoniac people who deride God and godly people, who deride the Supreme Lord and his devotees. Just like Hanumanji engaged his anger towards Ravana and burned his Lanka. So, Kama and Krodha have their roles to play in spiritual realm also. But if Kama and Krodha are in the material realm, they are greatest enemies to the spirit soul. Fine. And what is this? How does this lust cover all of us? Krishna says in the next sloka. Very beautiful. Dhumena vriyate vahinir.
Dhumena vriyate vahinir.
Yatha darshomalena cha.
Yatha darshomalena cha.
Yatholbena vrito garbha.
Yatholbena
తథా తేనేదమ వృతం. కృష్ణ సేస్ లస్ట్ కవర్స్ ది లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీస్ ఇన్ 3 degrees. ధూమేణ ఆవ్రియతే వహనిర్. వహని ఈజ్ దిస్ అగ్ని, దిస్ ఫైర్. ఫైర్ ఈజ్ కవర్డ్ బై స్మోక్. సిమిలర్లీ లస్ట్ కవర్స్ ద లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీ. జస్ట్ లైక్ ఫైర్ ఈజ్ కవర్డ్ బై స్మోక్, ద హ్యూమన్ బీయింగ్స్ ఆర్ కవర్డ్ బై లస్ట్. ఫైన్, బట్ యూ కెన్ స్టిల్ సీ ఫైర్. ఆల్ ద స్మోక్ ఈజ్ కవరింగ్ ఇట్. స్మోక్ ద ఫైర్ ఈజ్ దేర్. ఫైర్ ఈజ్ వెరీ మచ్ విజిబుల్ ఎట్ ద ఎండ్ ఆఫ్ ది ఫైర్. Towards the end of the flames, you will see some smoke. Sometimes it is a little less, sometimes it is more, but fire is visible. Means the lust covering the human beings is very slight. Fine. Next stage. Yatha darsho malena cha. Yatha darsho means this mirror. Mirror is covered by dust. Okay. So just as mirror is covered by dust, animals are covered by lust. Fine. That is medium covering. So when smoke is covering the fire, you can still see the fire, you can still feel the effect of fire. But when dust covers the mirror, you cannot see yourself properly, right? Or you may not be able to see at all, because if the covering is too thick, you cannot see. You can want to put there like you're seeing in a mirror, but you are unable to do it properly. Fine. So that is medium covering. And next is yatholbena vrito garbha. Just like the garbha, this embryo is covered by the womb, similarly the trees or the plants are covered by lust. Means the covering of lust or this material covering in the lower living entities is very deep. And other living entities were little more developed in their consciousness, because trees are not as conscious as animals, right? And animals are not as conscious as human beings. So human beings are slightly covered by lust, animals are moderately covered by lust, and trees and very low grade living entities are covered by a thick layer of lust. Fine. So tatha tenedam avritam, the conditioned soul in conditioned jivas in the world are also covered by lust. Basically, all these are jivas only. Whether trees or animals or human beings, they are all living entities only, right? They are living beings, they are souls. So when the lust covering is very thick, the living entity is entrapped in very low species, which are not very conscious. When the lust covering is very thin or very slight, then you take the forms of living entities that are more developed in consciousness, like the human beings. Fine. So now I think you can see Gita Subodhini 65th page. I have covered this verse in 3 forms. Okay. Now one more point that we can discuss is because the degree of covering of lust is very slight in the case of human beings, the chance of overcoming their lust is maximum. So we human beings have the maximum opportunity to overcome our lusty propensities. Animals have very moderate chance to overcome their lusty propensities. And trees, they have very minimal chance. There's hardly any chance. Because a human being can be a brahmachari, but animals generally not. Okay, there may be some rare animals, we don't know, but generally they are not. Animals can have sex anywhere with anyone also. There's nothing like wife or some wives, that kind of things are not there. They can engage in lusty affairs with any other animal, right? But a human being also, if he does like that, he is as good as an animal. But human being has some restrictions of marriage protocols are there. Some people can remain celibates also throughout life, right? So the opportunity to overcome lust is maximum in the case of a human being, in the human species. Fine. Next, 39th shloka.
ఆవృతం జ్ఞానమేతేన
ఆవృతం జ్ఞానమేతేన
జ్ఞానినో నిత్య వైరిణం కామరూపేణ కౌంతేయ దుష్పూరేణ అనలేన చ ఆవృతం జ్ఞానమేతేన జ్ఞానినో నిత్య వైరిణ. ఓకే, సో ద ప్యూర్ కాన్షియస్నెస్ ఆఫ్ ద లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీ ఈస్ కవర్డ్ బై దిస్ లస్ట్. ఓకే, ఆల్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ మిస్యూజింగ్ అవర్ మైన్యూట్ ఇండిపెండెన్స్, బికాస్ ఆఫ్ ఫాల్సివ్ అండ్ ఆల్. జ్ఞానినో నిత్య వైరిణ అండ్ దిస్ లస్ట్ ఈజ్ నిత్య వైరి, ఎటర్నల్ ఎనిమీ ఆఫ్ ద సోల్. అండ్ కామరూపేణ కౌంతేయ, కామరూపేణ మీన్స్ ద ఎనిమీ ఇన్ ద ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ లస్ట్ ఈజ్ వెరీ ఫార్మిడబుల్ అండ్ పెర్మనెంట్. సో దుష్పూరేణ అనలేన చ అండ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ నెవర్ సాటిస్ఫైడ్. దుష్పూరేణ, పూరేణ మీన్స్ సాటిస్ఫైయింగ్, కంప్లీటింగ్. దుష్పూరేణ మీన్స్ ఇట్స్ ఎక్స్ట్రీమ్లీ డిఫికల్ట్ టు సాటిస్ఫైస్ దిస్ లస్టీ డిజైర్స్. ద మోర్ వన్ ట్రైస్ టు సాటిస్ఫై దట్ లస్ట్, ద మోర్ దట్ ఇట్ డిమాండ్స్. జస్ట్ లైక్ ఘీ, ఓకే దిస్ ఫైర్ ఈజ్ లాంగింగ్ ఫర్ ఘీ, లెట్ మీ పోర్ 2 స్పూన్స్ ఆఫ్ ఘీ. ద ఫైర్ విల్ ఇంక్రీస్ అండ్ ఆస్క్ ఫర్ మోర్ ఘీ అండ్ యూ పుట్ లిటిల్ మోర్ డ్రాప్స్. మోర్ మోర్ గివ్ మీ మోర్ గివ్ మీ మోర్ అనియోర్ అనియోర్. సో ఇట్స్ ఎక్స్ట్రీమ్లీ డిఫికల్ట్ టు సాటిస్ఫై ద లస్టీ డిజైర్స్. హవెవర్ ఇఫ్ వన్ బికమ్స్ లిటిల్ సెల్ఫ్ కంట్రోల్డ్ అండ్ మేనేజెస్ టు మినిమైజ్ వన్స్ మెటీరియల్ డిజైర్స్ అండ్ స్లోలీ అండ్ గ్రాడ్యువల్లీ ట్రై నాట్ టు అడ్రస్ దిస్ లస్టీ డిజైర్స్, జస్ట్ లైక్ అన్ఇన్వైటెడ్ గెస్ట్ దే జస్ట్ లీవ్. ఓకే, నౌ యు సీ హిస్ హోలీనెస్ రాధానాథస్వామి మహారాజ్ గివ్స్ దిస్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్. ఇఫ్ వన్ హ్యాస్ సమ్ ఇచింగ్ సెన్సేషన్ ఆన్ హిస్ హ్యాండ్, సో ఐ మస్ స్క్రాచ్ లిటిల్ బిట్ అండ్ ఇచింగ్ సెన్సేషన్ విల్ గో అవే, బట్ దట్ విల్ ఆల్సో ఇంపెల్ ద పర్సన్ టు స్క్రాచ్ లిటిల్ మోర్. యూ స్క్రాచ్ మోర్ స్క్రాచ్ స్క్రాచ్ అండ్ దెన్ ఇట్ బికమ్స్ రెడ్, స్కిన్ బికమ్స్ రెడ్, బట్ యూ ఫీల్ లైక్ స్క్రాచింగ్ మోర్. యాజ్ సూన్ యాజ్ యూ టేక్ ఆఫ్ యువర్ హ్యాండ్ దెన్ యూ ఫీల్ వెరీ రెస్ట్లెస్, రైట్? బట్ ఇఫ్ యూ పుట్ యువర్ హ్యాండ్ అండ్ దెన్ స్క్రాచ్ లిటిల్ బిట్, యూ ఫీల్ ద రిలీఫ్. యాక్చువల్లీ ది స్క్రాచింగ్ ఈజ్ నాట్ ది మెడిసిన్ ఆర్ ట్రీట్మెంట్ ఫర్ ద వాట్ ఎవర్ బాయిల్ ఆర్ సమ్ సోర్ ఆర్ సమ్ ఇన్ఫెక్షన్ దట్ యూ గాట్. బికాజ్ యూ గాట్ సమ్ ఇన్ఫెక్షన్ యూ ఫీల్ లైక్ స్క్రాచింగ్, యూ స్క్రాచ్ లిటిల్ బిట్, యూ ఫీల్ లిటిల్ రిలీఫ్, యూ ఫీల్ లైక్ స్క్రాచింగ్ 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 అండ్ దెన్ ఇట్స్ సో రెడ్, ఇట్ హెస్ ఆల్రెడీ బికమ్ రెడ్, ఐ స్క్రాచ్ లిటిల్ బిట్ నౌ. అండ్ when you become really obsessed with scratching, you are unable to stay without scratching at all, then you feel like scratching even if you are bleeding. The wound will become bigger. This scratching will only worsen the wound, worsen the infection, and sometimes if you take off that hand and put somewhere else, right, the infection will go there also, right? Like that, the entire body will be filled with boils. Okay, so the solution is, if you can tolerate the urge to scratch in the very first time only, then you can be protected. So tolerating the first urge to scratch is the solution. Okay, but if you give in to the first urge, you feel like second time scratching also, third time also, fourth time also, then it will become bigger, 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 it will bleed and you still feel like scratching. All material desires are like that. So by aligning ourselves to the instructions of Krishna and Vedic injunctions, if we can tolerate the urge to, because as long as the soul is in the material body with material senses in the material world, there will be material propensities. But if we give in to those propensities, we will be entangled in this material realm. But if we can tolerate those propensities by keeping ourselves in the good association, then there is a very good opportunity for us to come out of this material realm permanently and enter the spiritual realm. Fine? So, lust is never satisfied. One should not think that, okay, let me just satisfy this one lusty desire so that I can be free. Right? When that is satisfied, I can move ahead. But it may not be so. It's not, you cannot assure that. But just by fulfilling that one lusty desire, then you will be free from lust forever? Not necessarily. During the course of fulfilling that one small lusty desire, you may develop 10 other lusty desires. Right? So it is never satisfied by any amount of sense enjoyment. Just as fire is never extinguished by constant supply of fuel. In the 7th canto of Bhagavatam, there is a very crude way of controlling this lust. Now, if you keep on pouring some spoons or some drops of ghee in the fire, the flame will become bigger and bigger. But if you take, you know, 10 kilos or 50 kilos of ghee and then pour on that fire, the fire will be extinguished only. Right? So, for people who are of, but that's not a very recommended way. Okay, don't put any ghee, the fire will be extinguished. That is a recommended way for a sadhaka. But for people of very poor consciousness, there is one way mentioned, right, which is not recommended for people in general. When one engages in profusely in sense gratificatory desires, he will become really bored and disgusted with sense enjoyment and he will just go away. Right? Somebody wants to smoke cigarette and then you give him 10,000 cigarettes and then smoke, then he will be disgusted with, I will not smoke anymore. But that is not a recommended way. 7th canto, in one place it comes, towards the end of the 7th canto, this example comes. But that's not a recommendation at all. Okay. But that is a very crude way for people of very poor and degraded consciousness who are really obsessed with it. Okay. Next, 40th sloka. So Prabhupada writes, this world is Maithunya Agara. Yes, yes, Prabhu.
You had mentioned in the previous class that if you don't know your limit, then that part, that method can be very dangerous.
Hmm?
If you know your limit and you overthrow yourself through that limit, then you can expect to be, hopefully, be disgusted. If you don't know your limit, and then you expose yourself to big, lusty engagement, then you will not get so many more scenes.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. 40th. Indriyani mano buddhir asya dhishtana mucyate etair vimoha etyesha jnanam avritya dehinam. So, indriyani mano buddhir, what are the locations of lust? Krishna says in this sloka. Indriyani in the senses, mano in the mind, buddhir in the intelligence, lust is seated. Fine. Indriyani, mano, buddhir, asya adhishtana mucyate. Adhishtana means the sitting place of lust is within the senses, within the mind, and within the intelligence. Everywhere it's there. Okay. Next, etair vimohayatyesha jnanam avritya dehinam. Through them, lust covers one's real knowledge, jnanam avritya. Because of lust, one's knowledge is covered. When lust takes over, although you are knowledgeable still, for example, Ajamil was watching that lusty affair. He was trying to remember all the Vedic injunctions and mantras or whatever to try to control himself. But somehow his mind is dragged by that lusty affair. He was seeing that prostitute enjoying with that Sudra in public place. So his mind was taken away completely. Then Ajamila, slowly his intelligence is totally spoiled and then he just gave in to the association of that prostitute. Fine. So, a person is completely bewildered. Vimohayati. So, Prabhupada writes in this purport, mind is the center of all the activities of the senses. And thus, when we hear about the sense objects, the mind generally becomes a reservoir of all ideas of sense gratification. Okay. So, hearing about the sense objects will instill a desire in the mind. Through the senses, the desire will go into the mind. It will sit there. And the intelligence will plan how to fulfill that desire. You understand? If we do not expose our senses to come in contact with sense objects, then they will not enter the mind, then they will not enter the intelligence. But if we expose our senses to sense objects, that will create further desires in the mind, and intelligence will make all planning and scheming to fulfill the desires. So they are all connected. Senses, mind, intelligence. Lust is seated in all three. Now, when somebody does not have sufficient opportunity to engage senses in sense gratification, within the mind, they will engage in sense gratification. Right? They will imagine to be gratifying their senses. Oh, I cannot eat rasgulla today. Within the mind, they will eat rasgulla. They will meditate on it. Right? They will do manas puja, you see, okay, of sense objects. Okay. So, lusty intelligence influences the spirit soul to acquire the false ego and identify itself with matter. And this with the mind and senses. Now you see, out of sight, out of mind. What are those sense objects that generally bother us? Those sense objects with whom we have come in contact with in the recent past. If you recently had a sense gratificatory experience, your senses will dwell on that. If you have recently had a nice, pleasant song, which may be material, right? So then your mind will dwell on that. Not that song that you have heard 25 years back and then you have forgotten the lyrics and the tune. Okay? If you have recently ate one special item, you'll remember that. Not that, what we have heard 30 years back. Not what you have ate 30 years back. So, in the 11th canto, Uddhava Gita says that to protect yourself from sense gratificatory propensities, gradually try to withdraw your senses from the sense objects. Of course, by giving them a better engagement. Param drishtva nivartate. Okay. So, by not bringing your senses in contact with the sense objects often, you will be, you can save yourself from that sense gratificatory propensity. Out of sight, out of mind. Mind is generally dwelling on those sense objects that we have come in contact with in the recent past. Of course, one may question, 11th canto purport also says that. One may question that, oh, I have never come in contact with this sense object in the last 10 years or 20 years. But the impression of that sense object that you have experienced or enjoyed 20 years back or in the last lifetime is strongly stored in your mind. To the extent a sense object makes an impact on your mind, to that extent it haunts you. That impression haunts you. But if we keep on endeavoring to minimize our contact with certain sense objects that are detrimental to our spiritual progress, gradually one will be able to overcome them. Right? So, I have not come in contact with the sense object last 25 years, but still why is it bothering me? Because 25 years back, your contact with that sense object is really intense. In these 25 years, you have come in contact with so many sense objects, but you hardly remember them. Why only that? Because that made a greater impact on you. So to relieve yourself from that impression, you need to put little more endeavor. Fine. So basically, out of sight, out of mind works to a considerable degree. So, Prabhupada quotes this Bhagavatam verse, Syatma buddhi karanapetri dhatuke. You can go through that. 41. Tasmatvam indriyanyadau niyamya bharatar shabham papmanam prajahihyenam jnana vijnana nashanam. Tasvatmam tasmatvam indriyani adau niyamya bharatarshabha. So that's why Krishna says, first try to regulate your senses. In the 40th verse, Krishna said, lust is seated in senses also, mind also, intelligence also. But Krishna says, first work on your senses. Okay? He does not say, first work on your intelligence. First work on your mind. Yeah, that is definitely recommended and you can definitely work on the lust through intelligence and mind. But restricting the senses from sense objects is the first step to come out of this victimization of lust. Fine? First regulate the senses. So by regulating the senses, one should curb this great symbol of sin, lust, from the very beginning. Tasmatvam indriyani adau. Okay? Adau means beginning, first. నియమ్య భరతర్షభ పాపానం ప్రజహిహీనం జ్ఞాన విజ్ఞాన నాశనం. అగైన్ హీ సేస్ దిస్ లస్ట్ ఈజ్ డిస్ట్రాయర్ ఆఫ్ నాలెడ్జ్ అండ్ సెల్ఫ్ రియలైజేషన్. మీన్స్ జ్ఞాన ఈజ్ నాలెడ్జ్, సెల్ఫ్ రియలైజేషన్ ఈజ్ విజ్ఞాన. బోత్ ఆర్ డిస్ట్రాయిడ్ ఇఫ్ ఐ గివ్ ఇన్ టు లస్ట్. సో ఫస్ట్ రిస్ట్రిక్ట్ ది సెన్సెస్. దట్స్ వై వీ టేక్ వౌ, ఐ విల్ ఫాలో ఫోర్ రెగ్యులేటివ్ ప్రిన్సిపల్స్, రైట్? దే ఆర్ ఆల్ రిస్ట్రిక్షన్స్ ఆఫ్ సెన్సెస్, రైట్? నో మీట్ ఈటింగ్, నో ఇంటాక్సికేషన్, నో గ్యాంబ్లింగ్, ఆల్ దీస్ ఆర్ నో ఇల్లిసిట్ సెక్స్. యూ ఆర్ రిస్ట్రిక్టింగ్ యువర్ సెన్సెస్. సో స్లోలీ ద మైండ్ విల్ బి స్ట్రీమ్ లైన్డ్, దెన్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ విల్ బి స్ట్రీమ్ లైన్డ్. ఓకే, ఐ విల్ కంటిన్యూ టు ఎంగేజ్ మై సెన్సెస్ ఇన్ సెన్స్ గ్రాటిఫికేషన్, బట్ ఫ్రమ్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ ఐ విల్ ఫాస్ట్ ఫ్రమ్ సెన్స్ గ్రాటిఫికేషన్, ఫ్రమ్ మైండ్ ఐ విల్ ఫాస్ట్ ఫ్రమ్. దట్ డజంట్ వర్క్, రైట్? ఫస్ట్ యూ రిస్ట్రిక్ట్ ద సెన్సెస్, దెన్ స్లోలీ మైండ్ విల్ కమ్ అండర్ కంట్రోల్, దెన్ ది ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ విల్ కమ్ అండర్ కంట్రోల్. ఆఫ్ కోర్స్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ ఈస్ హయ్యర్ దాన్ సెన్సెస్, ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ ఈస్ హయ్యర్ దాన్ మైండ్ ఆల్సో, మైండ్ ఈస్ హయ్యర్ దాన్ సెన్సెస్, బట్ ద సెన్సెస్ ఆర్ ద మీడియం త్రూ విచ్ ద సటిల్ బాడీ, ద గ్రాస్ మెటీరియల్ సెన్సెస్ ఆర్ ద మీడియం త్రూ విచ్ ద సటిల్ మెటీరియల్ బాడీ ఈస్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్సింగ్ సెన్స్ గ్రాటిఫికేషన్, ఎక్స్పీరియన్సింగ్ దట్ ఎంజాయ్మెంట్. యూఆర్ అండర్స్టాండింగ్ దిస్? సో సటిల్ దిస్ గ్రాస్ బాడీ విత్ దిస్ గ్రాస్ మెటీరియల్ సెన్సెస్ ఆఫ్ ఐస్, నోస్, ఇయర్స్, టంగ్, దిస్ అండ్ దట్, ఓకే, దే ఆర్ యాక్చువల్లీ ఎక్స్పీరియన్సింగ్ సెన్స్ గ్రాటిఫికేషన్, ఓకే, బట్ దే ఆర్ ద మీడియమ్స్ త్రూ విచ్ ద సటిల్ బాడీ ఇస్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్సింగ్. బట్ ఇఫ్ యూ ఫాస్ట్ ది గ్రాస్ సెన్సెస్ ఫ్రమ్ సెన్స్ గ్రాటిఫికేషన్, సటిల్ బాడీ విల్ అండర్స్టాండ్, ఓ ఐ థింక్ ఐఎమ్ నాట్ గెటింగ్ ద రెగ్యులర్ సప్లై, ఓకే. సో స్లోలీ సటిల్ బాడీ విల్ బి ప్యూరిఫైడ్. సో ద ఎనిమీ లస్ట్ కెన్ బి కాంకర్డ్ బై కాంకరింగ్ ఇట్స్ షెల్టర్స్. ద సెన్సెస్ ఆర్ ది షెల్టర్స్ ఆఫ్ సెన్స్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్ అండ్ మైండ్ అండ్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్, విచ్ ఆర్ రెస్పెక్టివ్లీ ఇంక్రీజింగ్లీ డిఫికల్ట్ టు కాంకర్. దే అనదర్ వే, ఓకే, ద సెన్సెస్ మే బి డిఫికల్ట్ టు కంట్రోల్ బట్ దే ఆర్ ఈజియర్ టు కాంకర్ దాన్ ద మైండ్, బికాస్ వాట్ ఎవర్ ఈజ్ ఈజీ యూ డూ ఫస్ట్. సో వన్ ఈజ్ అబౌట్ ద డిఫికల్టీ, సెకండ్ ఈజ్ అబౌట్ ద యాక్సెసిబిలిటీ. సెన్సెస్ యాక్సెస్ సెన్స్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్ ఫాస్ట్, ఓకే. నౌ యూ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ ద సెన్స్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్ త్రూ ద సెన్సెస్, రైట్? Within the mind, you may think, I'm eating gulab jamun, I'm eating gulab jamun, but still you will not get that enjoyment. But if you actually put it in your mouth, then you will get that enjoyment. So basically, you are relishing the sense objects through the senses. And restricting them is actually easier. But in the mind, the propensity to eat gulab jamun, the desire to eat gulab jamun is still there. Right? It's difficult to take it off immediately. But you can control the tongue first. Okay? Easier. So, therefore, first the senses should be conquered by regulation. By restricting the senses, after some time, mind will come under control, intelligence will also come under control. Fine? You understood the hierarchy there? So, one more. We'll discuss this and then come to that. Indriyani parandyahur Indriyebhyah parambanah మనసస్సు పరా బుద్ధేర్ యో బుద్ధే పరతస్సు సహ. నౌ కృష్ణ గివ్స్ ది గ్రేడేషన్, రైట్? ద హైరార్కీ ఆఫ్ ది గ్రాస్ అండ్ సెటిల్ బాడీస్. ఇంద్రియాణి పరాణ్యాహుర్, ఓకే, దిస్ సెన్సెస్ ఆర్ సుపీరియర్ టు డల్ మ్యాటర్. ద సెన్స్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్ ఆర్ మేడ్ విత్ మ్యాటర్ అండ్ సెన్సెస్ ఆర్ దేర్, దే ఆర్ ఆల్సో మేడ్ ఆఫ్ మ్యాటర్ ఓన్లీ, but the senses are superior to this dull matter. Next, indriyabhyah param manah, mind is superior to the senses. Next, manasastu para buddhir, above the mind is intelligence. Intelligence is greater than the senses and greater than the mind. Yo buddhehi paratastu saha, saha means that person, the soul is higher than the intelligence also. Fine. So, senses are superior to matter, and superior to senses is mind, superior to mind is intelligence, superior to mind is the person there, okay? But for the soul to actually progress on the spiritual path, so you need to first start with controlling the senses from dealing with material sense objects, okay? Next, in the 42nd purport, Prabhupada writes, I am reading from the second paragraph. middle, I think fifth line. If by intelligence one engages one's mind in Krishna consciousness, by complete surrender unto the Lord Krishna, then automatically the mind becomes stronger, and even though the senses are very strong like serpents, they will no more be effective. They are like snakes with broken fangs. Okay, they are not effective anymore, because you are engaging your subtle body in Krishna consciousness, the gross body will come under control. But for that, you begin with controlling the gross body from further sense gratification, then slowly, it is cyclic, right? Your intelligence will stop the senses from sense gratification. But if you fast the senses from sense gratification, slowly will intelligence also will come under control. And ultimately, the solution is practicing bhakti yoga, practicing Krishna consciousness. There, you get a spiritual engagement for the senses, a spiritual engagement for the mind, spiritual engagement for the intelligence, and a spiritual identity for the ego. The senses are engaged in various services to Krishna. It could be deity worship or book distribution or cooking for Krishna or whatever. And the mind gets a object of meditation, the holy name of Krishna. The intelligence gets to plan and scheme for various services of Krishna. And the ego is trained to identify oneself as servant of Krishna. So thus, the subtle body and the gross body have sufficient spiritual engagement, then controlling senses and all that will happen automatically. Fine. Now, last verse of this chapter. Evam buddhehe param buddhvam samstabhyatmanam atmanah jahi shatrum mahabaho kamarupam durasadam. Evam buddhehe param buddhva. By engaging your deliberate spiritual intelligence, which is basically Krishna consciousness, one should study the mind. Samstabhyatmanam atmanah. Atmanam atmanah. By your intelligence, you should control the mind. Study the mind by deliberate spiritual intelligence. And jahi shatrum mahabaho kamarupam durasadam. Okay. So, one should understand that this lust is a formidable enemy. And by spiritual strength, one should curb that enemy. Jahi shatrum mahabaho. Just conquer over this lust. Oh, mahabaho, greatly, mighty armed Arjuna, Krishna is saying. Jahi shatrum mahabaho kama rupam durasadam. That shatru is this kama. This lust is a great enemy. So by your deliberate spiritual intelligence, control that lust. Control the mind. Okay, which is the storage space of lust. So, now, in the purport, Prabhupada says, desire for overloading and for sense gratification is the greatest enemy of the conditioned soul. But by the strength of Krishna consciousness, one can control the material senses, mind and intelligence, all three. So, restrict the senses, then slowly mind and intelligence will come under control. That's what Krishna said in the previous verses. 41 and 42, he gave the hierarchy also. 43, he is saying by deliberate intelligence you control the mind. Okay, basically by 43rd verse can be Krishna conscious verse. By performing bhakti yoga, by practicing Krishna consciousness, you bring all the senses and senses, mind and intelligence under control by engaging them in spiritual activities. But the recommended method to begin with is, first stop the senses, don't feed the senses their sense objects. Okay, then slowly other things also will fall in place. That is like a practical method, but ultimately engaging everything in Krishna consciousness is what is recommended. Fine. So thank you all very much. We completed the chapter. Any questions?
Mind is agitated by senses, and another way, sometimes senses are agitated by mind.
Because of mind, correct, no doubt.
So, There is one also that you should have first control our senses, then come to the position to control our minds. So, is there another option that we should try to control our mind?
The ultimate option is, as I discussed clearly, ultimate option is engaging your mind, intelligence and senses in Krishna consciousness. Okay? And know the hierarchy. Senses are the outlets through which the subtle body, mind or intelligence will express their desires and experience that enjoyment. Now, definitely, mind will instigate the senses to engage in sense gratification sometimes. At that time, somehow if you manage to control that senses, not to give in, okay, don't hear the mind, just mind says, oh, let me eat pakoda. I'm speaking very non-spicy examples, very simple examples. Sometimes the sense gratification desires could be very strong and deep and gross. So mind says, don't eat pakoda. Doctor told you not to eat. Mind says, eat pakoda. All the doctor said to eat. But if you somehow divert yourself somewhere and then somehow restrain yourself from pakoda, lunchtime is over, pakoda is exhausted, you have no other option only. Okay? Mind will be disappointed, definitely. But that is good for you. Fine? Sometimes mind may instigate, but still if you can manage to control the senses, then you are in a safe position. Now, you hear the mind and engage the senses in eating the pakoda. What will happen? You want to eat one more. You want to eat another. You want to eat tomorrow also. Fine? So, that's why Krishna is recommending first regulate the senses. Mind will scream like hell. But if you have the ability to keep your mouth shut, then we will save ourselves from a lot of danger. Because controlling the mind is more difficult than controlling the senses. Do the easiest thing first. Make sense? Not eating pakoda, not allowing your hand to touch the pakoda and put it in your mouth, and not allowing your tongue to taste it, not allowing your mouth to chew it, that is easier than controlling the mind. Mind to rota rahega, rone do. But let me not touch the pakoda. That's what is expected. That's why Krishna says, it's easy. It's easy not to eat pakoda with mouth. But it's very difficult to not eat pakoda with your mind. Man mein khali hai pura. Man mein khali kar diya pura. You can, in mind, you can eat 1,000 pakodas in 10 minutes. But with mouth, you can eat only 3 pakodas in 10 minutes. Samajh rahe na? So this is when senses have very limited capacity to enjoy sense objects. But mind has unlimited capacity. So deal with it little later. Postpone it. Huh? So first deal with the easier things. That's what Krishna is trying to say.
It's recommended in the use of stress.
Yes. That is the ultimate solution.
The same time, even pre-viewing, say the you were a place, and what they are, Krishna was Jorna, Jorna me. Person is not ready to regulate the senses also.
Means eat prasadam instead of eating any junk food. That's what we try to say. Dovetail. Okay, go fine. Srila Prabhuji is saying, at least the propensity to gratify your senses could be spiritualized. Right? Some safe sense gratification can be spiritualized. Right? Eating pakoda, fine. Eat prasadam pakoda. Not what is available in the market. Okay? So that we can, but some are not safe sense gratification. Illicit sex, okay, spiritualize it. It is illicit sex. But we can engage in sex by marriage and that is licit, whatever, legal, bona fide. Gambling, you should not, generally. Some are, there is no way, you can't get into it at all. But some are like dotailable sense desires. Dotailable. Okay. You want to sing? TK. sing some bhajans. That is fine. Right? I want this kind, I want to play guitar. Okay, play guitar in kirtan. Oh, don't go to club. That's what we can say. Yes,
my English is this is one level less to the those people who are say, some Krishna conscious intake them.
Yeah.
Then they will come to this regulation. Then they have to begin here.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Correct, correct.
One thing is that actually we have enough trying to use our senses in Krishna services, at least try. But in spite of having engaged matters, but I have also, my mind is also here and there.
My mind also here and there and everywhere. It will take some time. That's why at least we have restricted the external senses to a certain degree.
But now my question is it for that I am not properly engaged my all senses?
It could be. Sometimes because of less engagement in devotional service, mind will get more space to dwell on sense objects. It could be so. Sometimes even if you are heavily engaged also, in may 15 hours you engage in service, Janmashtami service, whatever, still there is, the impressions are stored, they are there. But what is recommended for us is, if you constantly engage yourself in Krishna's service, don't keep yourself unengaged. There should be full engagement. When you get up, you should have the whole day's plan ready with all spiritual activities. In the next, for 1 year or 2 years, you should be having a plan, not necessarily on the paper and all, but you know, this is what I need to do, this is what I have to do and all that. Apart from your sadhana, you should have some service engagement which is really spiritual and keeps you going on within the realm of bhakti. But if many people just bloop or just deviate or change or get discouraged when they don't have sufficient engagement in devotional service. Yada seva nahi hai, shravanam kirtanam itna taste bhi nahi hai, kya karenge log, right? So we have seen people who became really, really restless when they don't have proper seva engagement. We should make sure that we should have sufficient seva. Okay.
Whether in this, where people have too much engagement, they get burnt out, and there is so much pressure, the sense enjoyment is not so much done for the sake of enjoying it, but as a mode of relief.
थोड़ा ब्रेक चाहिए यार, खोलो खोलो, क्या खोलेंगे, कुछ तो खोलेंगे. हाँ, यस प्रभु जी, करेक्ट, यू आर राइट. हाँ, But one small thing, bro, sorry. But in regards to this, the 11th canto, Uddhava Gita says that senses are like horses. If you try to restrict the horses too much, if you want to control the horse rider or whatever, he controls the horse too much, the horse will not cooperate. Horse will do like that fellow will fall down only. Right? Similarly, if we become too aggressive in controlling the senses will rebel like anything and they want to indulge in sense gratification in a very gross manner. So that's why Yukta Ahara Vihara is mentioned. So sometimes there is a bona fide sense gratification sometimes. Once in a while you can eat feast. Every day you don't have to eat saltless food, too much of austerity. You can eat some feast once in a while. Okay? But there should be some minimum allowable, bona fide sense gratification for the senses. The examples given there are, sometimes you may go for swimming, some special eatable items, bona fide. Thoda mask kha leta hun. That's not allowed. But the paneer sabji aache lega, khao khao. Everyday dudhi, bopla, pagya. Right? You can eat sometimes paneer sabji and all that, but not forbidden sense gratification. Yes, please.